grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight's gospel reading that we heard is quite fitting to close out the season of Easter in the church year. We hear the words of Jesus in that upper room on the night in which he was betrayed. Our Lord had done much teaching to the disciples in order to prepare them for all the events of the next few days, which would be his passion, his suffering, death, and his resurrection. He had also been teaching them about what their lives would be like after he had ascended into heaven, how the Holy Spirit would inspire them, and the Holy Spirit would teach them all things, and he would comfort them. And then finally, our Lord finished all this teaching with a prayer. All the gospel accounts tell us that Jesus prayed frequently, but they seldom often record the actual words of our Lord's prayer. But we do have the words of Jesus' prayers this night, not only his prayer in the upper room, but also the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. His prayer in the upper room had three parts. First, he prayed for himself. He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." He prayed that he would remain faithful to the task which his Father in heaven had sent him, the task of suffering and dying for the sins of the whole world. And when he had finished praying for himself, he prayed for his apostles. He said, "I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one." Jesus prayed then that his apostles would remain faithful to God the Father. And then there were the words that we heard in tonight's gospel. Here Jesus prayed for you. He said, "I do not ask for these only, his apostles, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. You are the ones who have heard the words of the apostles. You are the ones whom Jesus knew would be of the greatest need of faith and to believe in him whom God, the Heavenly Father, has sent to redeem you." Our Lord Jesus prayed for the unity of all believers. Three times he asked that the Father make us one in the faith. He prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Three times he prayed this. Three times he prayed for you. That means it's mighty important. But that unity that he prayed for just cannot be just any unity. See, many in our culture today want to unite humanity at any cost. Well, as well as it should be. But their idea of unity is very different from the unity for which our Lord prayed. They might say, "Well, let's just agree to disagree." Or they might say, "Well, you have your truth and I have mine." Phrases like this, these are not statements of unity. The true meaning of these kind of statements is that they're simply a real disagreement, lacking unity in the one true faith. It's actually hypocrisy, not the unity that Jesus prayed for. There's a profound difference between the Christian faith and the other faiths of the world. And oh, so many merely wish to just sweep the whole thing under the rug and forget about it. True unity can only be found in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You and I, we essentially cannot produce the unity for which our Lord prays. It's a near impossibility. Can't do it. Our Lord Jesus Christ prays for the unity among his followers, just like that he himself has with God, his Father in heaven. Jesus prays for the unity among Christians that are in God and from God. Such unity like this can only happen when everyone is united in Christ. As you are united in Christ, you are united into the body of Christ, the one holy Christian and apostolic church. True unity can only be found in Christ, the Son of God, who became man and gave himself up for us upon the cross. This is the unity for which our Lord prayed in that upper room. And as Jesus prayed, he prayed that this unity would have a specific effect. He prayed, "So that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me." That's why he prayed for unity, so that everyone would know about the love of God. How that love dwells in me, it dwells in you. When Jesus prayed that the world may know that his Father had sent him, he prayed that the world would hear that he is the true Son sent from God, his Heavenly Father. So as the true Son from God the Father, Jesus came to earth to complete a very explicit task. His Father sent him to take up our human flesh into himself and to do the work of redemption that we could not do for ourselves. And that work included his perfect life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and his ascension. By accomplishing this mission, Jesus earned the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world, forgiveness that offers eternal life with him, salvation. This unity of the church also proclaims the love that God has for the whole world. The greatest expression of love is that the body of God's own Son hung upon the cross for you. His love endured the punishment of hell for you as he hung there. Jesus prayed that every believer would know that God loves them, even as God the Father loves his Son. The love that God has for you is the same as the love that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have for one another. And Jesus described this love as the love that he received from the Father, which he got before the foundation of the whole world. From these words, we learn that the Son of God is eternal with the Father. Even in eternity, the love between the Father and the Son, it's just perfect. And that is the love with which the Father loves you. He loves you ever so dearly. So what's the net result of all this unity then? This sending, this love. Father, Jesus prayed, he says, "I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am." He wants you to see the glory that was given to him. Jesus prayed that all the world would have but one outcome, that those who are unified in him would have eternal life with him in the glory that God the Father had given him. Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for you this evening, and as it has always been, that you will live with him forever and ever in his glory. The Holy Spirit had inspired St. John to record the actual words of Jesus' prayer for your comfort, for your confidence. May you obtain relief in the love that God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit has for you. May you have the confidence in the eternal salvation that is yours in Christ Jesus. May you know that God the Father, in His love, has sent His Son as a sacrifice to make you truly one with Him. St. John wrote in his first epistle, he said, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." By these words, we hold very dear to us that Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Now may you still know that He definitely prays for you continuously. Even as we hear that He prayed in that upper room, He still prays for you today and every day until you have joined Him in His eternal glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.